The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. And welcome to the Artie Girl Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm here today with a wonderful guest who I've had the pleasure of knowing for quite a while now, Grace Gudanik. Right? I said that right? Awesome. Okay, good.
Thank you. Yes.
So she is the program director of the Arts Warehouse in Delray, and we're going to talk all about it and a little bit about her background as well. So welcome, Grace.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to be here. Yes. This is my very first podcast.
Wonderful.
As I said to you before, I'm usually the one asking the questions, leading the artist talk, so I feel very exposed.
No. I'm going to make sure it's a good first introduction to the podcast world for you. Okay, I'll take care of you.
Yeah, thank you.
So I want to get into just a little bit about the warehouse before we jump into your background and ask you a bunch of questions. The warehouse is many things. It is three gallery spaces. It's 15 working artist studios. It's event space and it's workshop space. And that's pretty incredible. And I feel like it's one of those that I love telling people about that not everybody knows about yet, that more people need to know about it. So I'm really excited to share this about it.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for sharing the word. I think visibility is still, so we're just about 7 years and 4 months old. Ish. And visibility is still like our number one goal, I think. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's just because like you're sharing that there's so many unique and great things going on in one space. And what I think is neat about Arts Warehouse is I think are a space for all levels of the enthusiast, if you will. So we have the random people that might be out walking their dog and pop in and say, what is this place? And then end up spending 15, 20 minutes and they're a new visitor and it's really great. And then all the way up to people that love to attend our workshops or they're exhibiting artists or they want to offer their work for exhibition or they travel from really far away to see it. So we are a welcome space for the very unknowing to the very like seeking it out as a destination.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Little piece of history for our audience. I was actually a studio artist there. I did one of the pop-ups which was 4 months, right?
I think it can be about 3 or 4 months usually.
So I shared a space, one of the studios, with my friend and fellow artist Cruz, and we just had an amazing time. And it's incredible the energy of that space and how, I mean, I feel like I was so productive there, but also so able to engage and connect in easy ways.
That's really nice to hear.
With other artists and with the community and with a different community for me as well, because even though Delray Beach is not that far from West Palm or from Palm Beach Gardens, it's still a whole new audience that, you know, my work got introduced to and exposed to through those first Fridays and just different opportunities to kind of open the doors to people, as it were.
Yeah.
It was a really great experience. I loved it.
Helpful. Thank you for sharing that. It's really nice to hear. I think that the studios are definitely probably the most unique part of us as an art space, at least for where we are in Delray Beach. You know, having 15 private studio spaces all in one place is, again, not that common. Unfortunately, I would love to have studios everywhere. There's definitely a demand for studio space.
For sure.
You know, for example, we just had our call for studio artists late last fall. And we had 18 applicants and we were only able to welcome in 6 or 7. So, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that everybody would be welcomed in. But I think that it's important to me for our community to maybe see that there are active working artists as their career, like right in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so having the studio spaces being open to the public gives these studio artists that access to the public too. So it's kind of like that cross sharing of information. So people can learn more about artists as working business people, and then the artists can share about their work. So I think that's really valuable. And I'm happy that we're able to do that. So that's not our biggest draw, but I think that that's what I like to really promote and shout out.
Yes, is just
and
let that, people know.
Yeah, we're, you know, it's because a one-stop shop for many different types of art too.
Yeah, and it is. It's a very mm-hmm. different experience because you might see, like you said, very different genres of work. You know, when I was there, Amanda Perna was there. She's doing, you know, her whole fashion textiles. Line.
Yes.
There was somebody who was doing pen and ink. You have jewelry downstairs. You have, you know, other kind of multimedia artists, ceramic artists, mm-hmm. many, you know, painters and just all sorts of styles and techniques.
Absolutely.
Going on. And different levels too, which is wonderful to see.
Yes.
That you have early career kind of just starting mm-hmm. artists. And then you maybe have mid and late career artists who are at very different phases and
totally
being able to cross paths with those people.
Absolutely. And I see the benefit within the little community that of the studio artists with that, like, you know, everybody sort of has different goals mm-hmm. in their path or their artistic career too. And lately, not by my influence necessarily, but the artists have been so collaborative with each other. It's like this really neat, you know, meetup energy and like wanting to like share ideas or, you know, a couple of us were just in one of the artist studios last week to like give a little critique. And then she ended up kind of working it out. We're like, oh, great. So it's like such a supportive, mm-hmm. collaborative, not competitive situation happening. So I think that's so lucky. And several of the artists put together a small show that we opened a few months ago where they were working together on these totems, like self-portrait totems. So I'm like, great, whatever you guys are doing, wanting to do and kind of cultivating yourselves back in those hallways, I'm like, go for it.
Right.
So,
and it's a special place also for those working artists because there's other opportunities besides literally just having a studio space to mm-hmm. create, which is, of course, one of the main struggles that artists need, right? It's just this space to create. But like you said, it's access to the public, but it's also other opportunities that I've seen pop up of curating opportunities, mm-hmm. of their chance to explore what that might mean for their art practice or looking at other people's art practice, or like you said, in collaboration, which is, it's been really interesting to see, to watch those shows come together.
Yeah.
And how this artist is interpreting a theme with mm-hmm. their own work, but then pulling in,
definitely
how many other people. It's really exciting.
Definitely exciting. And, you know, several of them have proposed solo shows even, and just seeing them kind of work that out, that body of work for themselves. Mm. And then if it works out in the schedule, like, I'm happy to do it because that's what we're there for. It's those opportunities and maybe getting them onto that next step of, all right, I've made all this work. How would I showcase it? Or, you know, who's my audience, that kind of thing. So
I know you said the studios are full right now, mm-hmm. but talk to us about what that process looks like.
Yeah.
People apply and then, you know, there's openings, but now you have limitations on how long you can be a artist there and use the space, because then it gives the next wave opportunity, right? So it's not like somebody's in there for 30 years and you have to wait.
As much as I would want
of course,
a lot of them to stay, all of them to stay. There is a cap of 4 years. So if you kind of think of it like school or college or something, it's a minimum of a year, maximum 4 years. And that again is just to be able to offer more opportunities with that turnover. Yeah. If 4 years goes so fast too, I swear there's a few artists this year that are moving on and it seems like they just got there.
Right.
But, you know, it's time to flee the nest, I guess, if you will. But one thing that's really neat in the process of staying on in your studio is we have a one-on-one meeting to review like the goals that you met perhaps, or the future goals for the next year, why you would like to stay at the Arts Warehouse in your studio space. And it ends up being not so much like a test, but it's more the artists have shared that they enjoy having that time to reflect mm-hmm. on like, wow, look at everything I did accomplish this year. Or I got 1,000 more followers on Instagram or whatever it is. So it's kind of like that check-in point in a positive, for them to be able to stay on. But, it's been really great too. And I think I just like kind of showing them on a piece of paper, like, look, everything that you've accomplished this year.
Yeah. So, I'm sure there's people that come in that maybe aren't, let's say, for instance, used to hosting workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a part of it, you know, where you're hosting some sort of community engagement, whether you're teaching your medium or you're doing something that can bring in some community and can offer some, you know, like I said, some sort of workshop. And right. that might be new to plenty of people. Yes. And that can be a big deal of learning how to share what mm-hmm. is your own talent and skill that you've developed. And then how do I explain it to right. a complete novice, or
articulating that little thing you do with your brush yes. so that like a group of people can follow along.
Yeah. So definitely. That somebody yeah. can catch on and get a little bit of insight into how you create as an artist. So yeah. there I know are many opportunities for goals that, you know, somebody wouldn't do if they were in a home studio or right. in a private studio that was tucked away somewhere.
Yeah.
Solo. Right. There's just,
yeah, that's so true. And a lot of our resident artists have, you know, proposed different workshop sessions or even kind of like, I guess, like a meetup, more like a lecture style mm. thing. So just wanting to share their practice with other people. So it's been great. It's I have always said that, you know, my email is an open door policy. Mm. I guess you could say like I'm open to reading any proposal, idea. If we can make it work, we make it work. If, you know, so I hope that, and not just for the studio artists, that's pretty much for sure. anyone, any yeah. other artist or creative or curator. Or, we've had so many different types of events or pop-up shows. So yeah, I'm always open to hearing ideas.
A silent disco there.
Yes.
I've been to Creative Mornings.
We had there was a roller skating rink once, really? Which made me very nervous, but everybody had Find a great time. Yeah. Okay. Everybody had a great time. But we have that nice big back space.
Yeah.
So that's any ways that we can just activate. It's a 15,000 square foot building. There's lots of space. So all the different ways that we are able to activate it, I'm open to trying it out.
And location, so, this is, three blocks
north of Atlantic Avenue in yeah. downtown Del Rey. So we're considered to be in the Pineapple Grove Arts District. We sit right on Artist Alley, which historically, maybe, oh gosh, 10 or more years ago, used to have a lot of organically existing studios along the alley. Unfortunately, just with, I don't know, landlords changing or this mm-hmm. or that, the artists have been pushed out, which is why the CRA, I think, envisioned this old empty warehouse building that we used to be to kind of like reignite that artistic energy and to be able to have the studio space right there. So, yeah. So we're there, we're holding it down.
I love it. It's such a great space. And we're going to talk more about it, but I want to sure. actually jump and get into a little bit of your background and okay. how you first came to the arts. Where was the beginning for you?
Oh man. What's such an interesting question. Long story short, I think I always remember as a child being creative. I always had paints out. I was really into kits, like create your own something kit. You know, I loved those. I have a lot of creative people in my family. My cousin, actually, local artist Haley Sheldon, if you know her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I just have vivid memories of me just wanting to do whatever she was doing too. So she was always creating. So it was definitely something I cultivated as a child without any goals. Just, it was always, you know, hands were always making. I think though, like officially or like in an education sense, in high school, I was involved in pretty much every extracurricular activity that wasn't a sport. marching band, chorus, musical theater, set production. And I also took an art class, but not until like my senior year of high school. I didn't take an official art class, but I think all of a sudden, you know, high school's winding down, that there comes that point where you're just like, oh, what's next for me? What do I want to do in college? Mm-hmm. Which is like, looking back, what does 17-year-old me think?
Know about what you want to do yeah. in the next 40 years of your life? Yeah.
But I guess it worked out. So I think I remember thinking, you know, I played the French horn. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be a professional horn player. I probably won't make it in theater, although I loved it. I actually really loved set production and like the creating the sets and the painting and all that. So with the art thing, I still found so much comfort in it. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just kind of went for it yeah. and I applied to school and
from there, you went to Stetson and yes. you did studio art. Mm-hmm. Was there any particular area that you were really engaged in during that?
Oh my gosh. All I can say to sum up, like getting to school was I really didn't know anything, which was great. So it was like a blank canvas, no pun intended. I just remember sitting in like painting one and just like painting with oils for the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, like something unlocked. I, you know, had dabbled in all kinds of stuff just growing up, but I had never tried oil paint, and then that really unlocked something for me. So in school, I definitely pursued painting as my main, that's what my senior thesis ended up being in, was oil painting. But luckily in the program I was in, you were able to try so many different things. I remember actually, this was kind of a wake up call moment at school, was it was a mixed media class, and our professor, who I love so much, he was really pivotal in a lot of my, I think what I have carried on in this, you know, role that I'm in. But he handed us all a magazine and said, like, okay, see you next Wednesday. And I was like, what? So I remember maybe like the day before class, and we were supposed to return with an art piece. All I did could think of was a collage. So I did a collage, and I got to class and people had constructed an umbrella. Like they had just like used it as a medium.
Yeah.
And I like, I was just like, oh, duh. Like I could realize that I had kind of been within like these limitations or just not really been exposed to, really thinking outside the box, I guess. So that kind of course was huge for
me. Like
a
moment where the floodgates open. Yes. You're like, oh, I can see past, and yeah, there's a whole other world out there.
Like, it's not just about the imagery within this magazine. Like, what does it feel like? What can it become with a little tape and glue or this or that? So that was huge.
So exciting, right? Was there ever a point where you were maybe going to take a different direction and something pulled you back to art, or was it always pretty steady, this path?
Gosh. Well, I remember at one point I wanted to be a crime scene investigator.
Okay.
That quickly didn't work out. No, I never really pursued it.
You quickly discovered that you did not like the sight of blood.
Absolutely not. Or like just none of that. But I guess, you know, once you kind of, and I definitely recognize that, you know, being fortunate enough to go to university and especially to study art, like, and you don't have to go into education to be an artist or be involved. It's, you know, but I recognize that I had the, I guess, luxury of kind of trying it out. And so once I was there in it and like learning so much and really getting into the history, and I think becoming more aware of all of the different ways that you can be involved in the art world without perhaps being just a studio artist,
sure,
not just a studio artist, but a studio artist, that I don't think I really ever considered anything else. Once I was sort of in it and exploring and seeing how many people it takes to run a museum, or, you know, just all the different avenues that are possible within art, I was pretty set. I did at one point though in college really want to do museum education. I think I was kind of leaning into that. I had a few internships, but it didn't quite pan out. Which is fine.
Yeah. Sometimes I think sometime when I retire, if that ever happens, maybe I'll be a docent in a museum.
Oh my gosh,
so, you know,
I'll
go through
wait.
That training.
I'll
and
see
that's
you there.
Like, yeah.
That would be lovely. Ladies Who Lunge, show just, a few tours around,
yeah,
just talk about
tours.
It all day. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
It's a great life.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask some career highlights or some thoughts, you know, if you maybe look back a little bit from the first thing exhibit that you curated at the warehouse to maybe the most recent thing.
Yeah.
Has there been any kind of big learning experiences, ones that stand out to you through that time?
Yeah, such a great question. So I think that maybe like not as romantically, but I've learned a lot about just logistics of it all. We're a really small team at Arts Warehouse of 3 people. And luckily we are able to sort of outsource sometimes for more install help and things like that. But in terms of thinking of an exhibition as, you know, in the whole scope of it, I feel like we've really, you know, from the first show to now, gotten down our systematic, you know, intake of art and communication with the artist, especially if it's a group show, like all those things that suddenly make a show appear. And we're all very hands-on. We're all spackling and painting. I'm on the scissor lift, hanging things 20 feet in the air. So very involved. So I think it's just, seeing over the years what has worked in terms of getting a show on the wall, and what doesn't, or what communication tactics are better. But for the actual like curatorial sense of it, it's interesting. You know, because every curator, a person that organizes a show or puts together a show, has different ideas, sort of like an artist. They may love to do like more is more. Let's fill the walls. Other people are super minimal. And that's what makes different spaces or different curators and, you know, experiencing their exhibition so unique, is because we all have a different eye. So I think for me, in terms of the, you know, the curating part, I've sort of developed a little bit of a style, I guess, or particularly perhaps with like themes. Mm-hmm. I like to show works or a theme for a work that's really thoughtful or intentional. Sometimes, you know, there was a show last year that felt really personal for me, even though none of my work was in it, but it was some subject matter about like family and nostalgia that these three artists were putting together that I just really felt connected to. And so it's almost like I put a lot of pressure on myself for that one because it did feel so personal. Mm. So I guess to your original question, I have learned a lot. I've also learned to sort of just follow my gut when it comes to putting shows together, and just to remind myself that there's no perfect show.
Yeah.
Because everything is so different. Depends sure. on the space you're in, the work itself. And so just kind of trusting that hopefully like whatever that through line is about like the message that you're hoping to get across mm-hmm. is getting across. But
and like you said, while there might be logistical kind of rules and measurements that need to be followed, otherwise there isn't a right or wrong.
No.
And there's things that you might
too open.
There's things too that you rough. Might as a curator, you know, when the show's up or at some point think, oh, that didn't quite exactly land how I wanted it to. But an audience
right.
might not be aware of that. Exactly. That's not what they see. That's not what's memorable to them.
Mm-hmm.
So right, at the end exactly. of the day, you still get to create this experience that is going to be totally unique to the viewer, no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
Like you can thread that, you know, story and introduce a theme and the topic and mm-hmm. hope that somebody can find some connection, yeah, but right. their connection is going to be completely unique no matter
totally.
What.
And that's one thing I love. My office in the front gallery space sort of sits right off. And so a lot of times I can hear comments at least yeah. while they're in the front. And I don't know, sometimes it's like a psychological socialist experiment to hear different reactions. And I mean, all kinds of stuff. And even if when it's negative, mm-hmm. I'm just glad they are having any kind of
reaction
with it. Absolutely. Yeah. yeah. I kind of like, not that I chuckle that they're being negative, but I don't know. It's fascinating. Really.
It really is. That's yeah. the best way to describe it. And I've been in a similar position with my own work because, you know, I've done wow, art yeah. shows for years. Right. And earlier on in my career, I don't know if it's because I started a little bit younger and people just didn't have much of an expectation of this, you know, young woman standing next to the booth that I was the artist.
Right.
It was almost never assumed that I was the artist, in fact. So people would just throw comments out in the wind. Gosh. And I was fascinated with it, the way people would react or hold their reactions. You know, it was just, like you said, it's a whole social experiment totally. Almost just to be at an art show and just listen to the people passing. And because there's hundreds of people passing by, you know, chances are somebody's not going to even think about what they're saying out loud because right. they're absorbed in a crowd. Mm-hmm. So they don't even really notice.
Or who's listening.
Yeah. But it's always been really entertaining to me.
Yes.
Good or bad or right. indifferent. Like yeah, it's just
curious. Well, I'm glad you have that. I guess, attitude about it being yeah. your own work.
I think that's one of the things that I always, you know, if somebody talks to me about getting into art shows and kind of what they could do there, what it could do for their career, how it could expand their practice or their business, that's part of it. I say like developing and getting instant feedback from a very large audience in a very short amount of time is really fascinating. And it can open your eyes to different things that people are seeing in your work that you may not have noticed.
It's like a nonstop critique time, for better or for worse. I mean, no, there is no worse. It's like you're saying, I think it's all valuable. And
whether you know, use it at all and it influences any kind of your work, or you just say, you know, water off a duck's back and it doesn't matter to me what they think anyway, then that's still a learning experience. It tells you something about yourself as a creative and what you can take or not take. And if you are okay with the feedback, or if you want to put yourself in a position maybe just to be a gallery represented artist where you don't have to have a direct line to an audience, you know, it just informs another level.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. Great point.
So as program director, what part of this role do you enjoy the most, do you think?
Oh my gosh. So many hats to wear in this role. Definitely curatorially or like putting shows together. There's just something about seeing or having an idea that I might have listened to on a podcast that reminds me of a painting I saw once. And then it just kind of starts this idea to then seeing opening night and the art's on the wall or on the floor, whatever. And
yeah.
And seeing people interacting with it and reacting with it. Like, it's so cool. It's so great. For lack, I mean, I should have a more poetic way of saying that, but you know, like the show we have up now, for example, the body show, it came together really quickly. And I'm so grateful to these artists for, you know, being able to participate sort of last minute. And there, the gallery just feel, it just has like an energy about it and it feels playful and thoughtful, and people have had great feedback or maybe even not so great feedback, but just seeing those reactions happening for something that, you know, I saw from start to finish. I don't know. It's just really rewarding.
Yeah, and it's got to be.
Yeah, I think so. That is a super great part of this position. And or even also working with, we often invite guest curators to come mm-hmm. in and put up a show. And I learn a lot during those processes. So I think the exhibitions part is probably my favorite.
So tell me a little bit.
I just want to give a shout out to close to, like I was saying earlier, interacting with those studio artists and just being sort of a source of, is it perfect knowledge? I don't know, but a source of knowledge that they seem to want to tap into. So it's really special to be there for them too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, you know, when it comes to the gallery exhibits, what's the kind of schedule like for people who have or aren't aware of how the shows run, how long are they open? How many, you know, shows in a season or a year are you doing? What does that look
like? Great question. So we have three gallery spaces that we program shows for. Primarily the front gallery is right now at about every 3 months or so. And then we'll switch those over. So that's, I can do math, four shows a year. And then the other two spaces sometimes run on the same timeline or a little shorter, maybe like just 1 month kind of little pops. So for example, this coming May in our East Gallery, which is a really nice, small, intimate space. Mm-hmm. We have just a 1 month kind of visit with an artist and then something else. So I like to at least have the gallery spaces on different schedules. So, you know, as people come in, that there's generally always something a little different every few months. So just trying to keep that. We have a lot of return visitors, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that they're, you know, continually engaged. And also the more we change over, the more opportunity for different artists to show their work too.
Yeah. So when you're jurying,
curating,
what is that process like? Are you putting calls out to artists?
It happens a few different ways. So for example, right now we actually have an open call for anyone to be able to apply, and it has a pretty loose theme. So we've done several of those types of open calls before, and that's when, you know, then staff will take a look through all the submissions and sort of select that group of work that we think is going to best portray whatever that theme is. And sometimes that theme really develops after we receive the work and we're like, oh, this is kind of venturing in a different direction. Other times I will have an idea, or perhaps I've seen an artist or two artists that their work feels something together. Mm-hmm. And then I'll start to pursue that. So I'm like, let me find more artists to fit that idea. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know, if the theme is maybe just a medium or material, I'll just do some research. So it is definitely research based. And like I said before, I'm always open to receiving exhibition ideas from artists or curators. And a lot of our shows that we've ended up putting up were from outside ideas. So,
So is there any particular medium that's standing out to you right now, or that you find yourself kind of drawn towards?
Well, I am always going to be a sucker for a painting, a good oil painting, especially a still life. So maybe that's my unofficial answer, but although I've had this, I shouldn't say this to the public, but no, I've had an idea for a show. exclusive. I've had an idea for a show for a while, and I think I'm going to try and finally get it going next year, but I've noticed a few galleries around showing this type of work lately. I'm like, I knew it. Like, there's just sometimes you just see a little something keeps popping up.
A little movement in a different direction or a different medium that stirs something.
Yeah. I always, like I think I said, I am drawn, I mean, personally, and I guess, you know, as a curator, I'm really drawn to work that feels really intentional, mm-hmm. whether that's, you know, whatever their statement is with the work or a really interesting way of using a medium, and just those types of pieces usually stand out to me. But, you know, I don't think there's one particular thing, but
there's a, and I'm not sure if it's Kim Taylor who I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Kim's there anymore. I think
she is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's based up in West Palm now, I think.
But her art was some that I really enjoyed and I still do. You know, yes. I just, of course, don't have the same access to it as I did when I had a studio there. Mm-hmm. But I always enjoyed the way that she formed her pieces. And when you say something you know, about the intentionality of work, she really comes to mind.
Yes. That's a great example. You can tell that. Exactly. She was really thoughtful in what the piece looks like and where she was coming from, mm-hmm. from to like start it. Yeah. Just that extra, you can't put your finger on it sometimes, but there's like a little something there. Yeah.
It's true. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've got more questions, but we're going to take just a quick little short break and hear a word from our sponsors, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait. Because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
We're talking with Dr. Ahmed El-Haddad, the Director of Acute Care Navigation for Tampa General Hospital here for today's Medical Minute. Doc, let's get right into it. I get asked every day, why is Tampa General here on the East Coast?
We're here to support the local hospitals and provide services that are not available in the community.
What does that mean for your patients?
It gives them opportunity and access to the latest innovations that healthcare has to offer that's only available at an academic center like Tampa General Hospital.
What happens if they need complex care and you have to get them over to Tampa?
We have a concierge service. We have 4 helicopters that arrange for immediate transport of the patient to provide them with immediate access of healthcare.
Awesome. Well, that was great. Thank you so much. And that was your Medical Minute brought to you by TGH.
Right. So now that we're back from the break, what can visitors expect from their first experience of a Friday, its first Friday art walk?
Yeah. So it is a great night to come check out Arts Warehouse because that is a night that a lot of our studio artists, if not all of them, will be in their studios either actively creating or demoing or just happy to chat with visitors. So it's sort of a time you can almost guarantee that you'll get to meet a lot of the artists. And usually we do line up our openings of new shows during art walks too, just to kind of give that like new, fresh excitement happening for those nights. So you'll be able to see new work. Basically the whole building is open. So you can roam through the gallery spaces. And then, like I said, I think in terms of energy, it feels really lively because, I don't know, it's really nice even on a not art walk day when the artists are in their studios and they're all in their, like, you know, just in their zones.
There's a buzz.
Yes, you can really feel it. So it's almost like you get to peek in on that.
Definitely. Energy. So that's every first Friday of the month?
Yes. And it's all throughout Delray Beach. There are, gosh, maybe a dozen or so venues and galleries, studios that are open as a part of that walk. At Arts Warehouse, we do have a little map. So if you wanted to maybe start your night off with us and then grab your map at our front desk and then you can head out that way.
Nice. Yeah. And get, I mean, it's very walkable area.
It is walkable.
And it's just a great evening. There's often live music at some of these spaces. And it's just really a great way to engage with the local art scene.
Totally. Lots of restaurants along the way. If you wanted a bite. So I think it's a great night.
Yeah. Definitely.
We get a great turnout, so we're grateful for that.
Yeah, I've got to, you know, be there through a few of them and I always had a good time. And it was just a, kind of a different vibe every time, which was interesting, you know, yes, depending on what people would come out. I'm going to give a shout out to the second floor because not everybody knows that there's a second floor of the building.
Is such a good point. Yes. We
there's an elevator and there's stairs, so it's accessible.
There's a giant arrow on the floor. Like, yeah, we try. But yes, there is a second floor with amazing artists. Don't miss it. Don't miss the second floor. Yes.
I also wanted to ask, you know, we mentioned Pineapple Grove. How do you think you've seen that area change in the years that you've been with the Arts Warehouse?
Gosh, great question. So I've been on board now for a little over 7 years, and it definitely has been like an ebb and flow with the area. I would say for the first few years, it felt pretty dormant out our windows, actually. But I will say that at least just within the Artist Alley, Northeast Third, I'm doing this like you can see the map.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
to our west, I guess, there is a lot of activation. New cafes, there's a yoga studio, bar studio, smoothie place. So people are coming to the area. So I'd say in the last maybe 2 years, that has felt like a shift. Parking is, you know, more often filled, which like, I'm like, great. People are around here. They're so, here. And you know, there's generally Delray Beach, at least in the downtown, has always been a supporter of art. So I feel really lucky that, we're in a city and a downtown that already has art as like an important part of the narrative of the city and the culture. So, you know, Arts Warehouse isn't spending its time convincing people that, you know, come spend your time at art. It's like, it's already within the makeup of the city, which is really lucky. So if anything, in terms of change, it definitely feels more active. There are a few more studios that have popped up like sort of near us now. And there are a few galleries that have been staples in the downtown, just a few blocks from us for many years, and, you know, a few new ones too. And the Cornell Museum's not very far away. Mm-hmm. They're another great spot. So, I'd say it feels like a good momentum going on right now.
Nice. Yes. I love to hear that. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about a little bit more about your kind of personal inspirations, you know, as your kind of artwork that you're doing or not doing lately. I don't know, but where do you turn for inspiration for yourself, whether it's for art that you're going to put down on canvas or going to bring to the curatorial role?
It's a great question. So I will say I'm not so active on my own easel these days. I did graduate with, you know, the concentration in painting, which I love to paint, but I also find that while I'm not physically painting so much, the interaction with these artists and getting to be around art and putting shows together, et cetera, is just so fulfilling.
Yeah.
And it really fills that cup, if you will, of creativity. So, I feel lucky that that's still like a creative aspect of what I'm doing. And I'm sorry, the first part of your question?
Just where do you look for inspiration?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know, cheesy as it sounds, I follow so many amazing venues and spaces and artists on Instagram, for example. And I have, you know, an art account that I just kind of keep that focused, and I will end up in rabbit holes of a gallery that's somewhere else around the country that has an artist who I then end up on their website. And then I'm reading an article about something else. And then, I don't know, just seeing the thousands of different creative people out there that are doing such interesting things. It's just always very eye opening. So it's not, again, the most romantic answer to say Instagram, but we're in an age where it's such a database for what's going on.
You know, let's be honest, it's easy to get on very different sides of the internet.
Totally.
So when you can kind of, you know, when your algorithm is locked into that one, it's a beautiful thing and can take you in really interesting places and directions. And like you said, learn about these artists that you might not have ever had access to otherwise. Absolutely.
It's just like continuing education. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like art history continued, I guess, seeing what's happening in, you know, the contemporary world. So that, and just, I think just a lot like through reading or what's happening with, you know, social things in the world. That's sort of where I get some inspiration for maybe different themes or, you know, let's find artists that are speaking about this issue in any unique way. So that definitely is inspiring too.
Wonderful. What is something that you think you've learned or absorbed from working so closely with these maybe, you know, emerging studio artists?
So I really admire that they are so motivated, I guess, or that, you know, while I didn't take the path maybe to be a full-time artist, that these people have, and they're really dedicating their time, their family and friends are supportive, and just seeing the little, I don't want to say little in a diminishing way, but those keeping track of those small successes that they have, is also very inspiring for me actually. And to see that, you know, maybe the environment that we've developed there is helping, right? And, that it is possible for someone to see their goals come to fruition or get accepted to a residency or get accepted to an MFA program or all these things that they can, you know, put their mind to. And that, you know, it's possible and it's fun, yeah. I guess. And, you know, fulfilling
and that the community supports
is backing it. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
There's people behind you that are not just rooting for you, but literally showing up for you.
Absolutely.
In, you know, many cases.
Yeah.
I mean, you have this beautiful vantage point, literally from your office, but just from being in that environment of seeing this garden of artists grow and develop. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it becomes bittersweet after those 4 years where
it really is. Yeah.
You know, move on. But of course you want to see the advancement of their
absolutely,
you know, careers or lives or whatever path they're going down next. Mm-hmm. And then the next, you know, era of artists comes in and it's a totally different energy and you get to start from seed all over again, maybe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, introduce the public to these new artists and it's all wonderful. And, I have learned a lot from it and I'm just really happy when I see people that are following their inspiration and their goals and their drives and their heart to create. So
it's great to be around, right?
Oh my gosh.
What a terrible work environment.
At least once, if not five times a day, as I'm, you know, walking through the building, I'm just like, how did I get here? This is so great. I never have once taken it for granted. I mean, to think even when I'm like stacking chairs after a workshop, I'm like, this is my job.
Yeah.
And how neat to like, just be around people that want to come in and just paint for a few hours in a workshop or, you know, or want to talk to me about their new oil painting and what do I think about it? I'm like,
truly,
wow, I love it. It's just anything I could have imagined where I would be, you know, back when I was in college. Like, I don't know if I would have imagined this. It's such a unique position. So I don't take it lightly.
Well, it's a unique space, really.
I mean,
and like you said, we would love to see more of them. And hopefully that's a future that we can imagine and create. But for now, it really is a special space that's different, stands alone in, you know, in our area, certainly, what it offers to people and to artists. So not quite into your own art practice, painting practice right now. I think the last time I actually saw you painting was when you were visiting at the Peach and doing, and a, workshop,
doing a workshop,
right? You were kind of teaching other people how to paint a little bit.
Well, maybe. No, I want to take more workshops because maybe that's a forced way to kind of get the brush wet. I did teach a workshop back in February. So I guess I did paint a little bit while I was leading others. So it happens sometimes.
Right.
But,
yeah. It does. Is there a medium that you would want to try and experiment in, you know, given all the free time in the world, if you had it?
Gosh, what a good. So I am so in awe of ceramic artists. Mm. It's very difficult. I don't know if maybe that would be like my next step. I think lately I have been really intrigued with like screen printing.
Ooh,
I've been seeing some cool ways to like manipulate paint with screens or again, just kind of like that physical, maybe something a little more physical.
Well, both of those. I mean, really.
That's true. That's very true.
Very physical. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about off camera earlier, we were talking about the Ben Zeighton Center and how physical glass blowing is. Yeah, maybe get into glass blowing.
That would be ideal. Yeah, so maybe just something a little more physical. Involved in the creation.
I always love ceramics and same. I find it incredibly challenging, but it's a challenge that I do love.
I know.
It's always.
The artists I know, especially when they're on the wheel, they just make it look so simple, don't they?
Yeah.
It's anything but. I really admire that.
That's great. Yeah. It's a medium that I really love to play in when I get the opportunity. And, you know, when Cass was yes. at the Peach and we were next to our studios were, you know, kind of close mm-hmm. to each other. She was always so wonderful and welcoming. She'd be like, yeah, come on over, put your hands in the clay if you want to, you yeah. know, jump on the wheel, do
just
whatever.
Feels good.
It
Maybe
does.
I'm just yearning for like a really tactile yeah. experience.
Yeah. Like I mean, like you hands. Said, you even from when you were, you know, a little kid, you always wanted had to have
something
in the hands being creative. I yeah. felt the same way and mm-hmm. I still am. I'm you know, sure, that doesn't yeah. change. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've talked a little bit or a lot about as much as we can in our time frame of the Arts Warehouse. Is there any question that I didn't ask that you, you know, wanted to highlight or mention about the warehouse for people who, you know, just might be wanting to learn more about it?
Totally. So I would just say that we're, like I said, I just want to emphasize like open door, we're for any level of art person, you know, whether you know nothing or are not interested in art. I still would love for you to come in. We'll say hello, show you around, up to the, you know, very active or an artist or anyone. Just we're totally an open door space. We're open to lots of ideas and proposals to be able to activate it and to make sure that it's being utilized as much as it can, you know, for the community, because that's what we're there for.
Yeah, yeah, truly. I mean, I highly recommend people visit for so many reasons. Obviously, visiting the studio artists and seeing what incredible creatives are in your backyard mm-hmm. and how they're working on their amazing pieces. Of course, visiting the gallery exhibitions, but then also getting, you know, a sense of awareness about the possibilities of spaces and how they can be utilized. And, you know, maybe you have a club that meets that needs an interesting space, or you have Absolutely. A discussion group that is looking for another, you know, gallery to visit. And there's so many things,
yeah.
so much potential there. So I love to encourage people to visit, and I'm thankful to you for coming on here and sharing all about it.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Yeah, the two last questions before sure. I let you leave. One that I ask everybody on here, which is that if you can, you know, tell us one place that you really wish anyone visiting or living in Palm Beach County would experience gosh. Related to arts and culture.
Okay.
And we've already talked about the warehouse, so you can't say the warehouse.
Oh my gosh. On the spot. I think, like I said, that luckily we're in an area that has so many galleries, whether they're like very high end, you know, big sale galleries or just a more community co-op gallery. So I would say just if you see one, pop in. You never know. It could be local artists. It could be really, you know, prestigious names from out of state. I mean, you never know. And I think that there are so many in the area that just pop in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a good answer.
It's not a specific answer, but
it's
an answer.
No, but it's a really good one. And I'm going to try and follow that advice because there's many times where I'll be driving, let's say down Dixie, for example, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
be like, oh, I've never stopped in there. I should, you know, I should just take a little extra 15 minutes to right. veer off and go see what's in there.
Exactly.
So, okay, I'll take that advice. I can follow that one.
Perfect.
And then the last question is, you know, when people do want to reach out and connect more, where can they find information about the Arts Warehouse? A website, social media?
Yes, all of the above. We're very active on social. Our Instagram is Arts Warehouse Del Rey. Our website is artswarehouse.org. We have all of our workshop schedules on there, exhibition schedules. You're able to sign up for everything right online, or you can call us. Like I said, we're a small team of three, but that is also, we're very approachable and here to help and happy to answer phone call questions and all that. So, but yes, Instagram is a great way and the website as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again.
Thank you,
Sarah. And I can attest, it's a wonderfully welcoming and supportive environment for the arts and for people who are curious, novice, or have been in the arts world for, you know, a generation or more. It's just, it's a great space to be. So thank you again
for sharing about it.
We're
happy to be there.
And thank you to our listeners. I appreciate you being here and checking out the show. I hope you come back again. And a huge thank you to our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. I will see you next time on the Artie Girl Podcast.